We started a series last week called Generations, and I gave you a homework is that you had to go watch the TV series Generations. I don't know how, but the rest of you guys, I know I've been called up with World Cup and various things, but Andrew has been faithful. He gave me a bit of an update earlier on this evening with everything that happened in Generations. So I'm up to speed. Thanks, Andrew. So what we're going to do is we're going to carry on, but I just want to speak a little bit on what we kind of spoke about last week. And that was a key thing, was passing on the baton, passing on to the next generation. We see the instructions of this. We see God talks about generations. In fact, biblical generations was about 40 years in basis. And so for one generation, they were to be faithful and teach. When was the generation finished passing the baton on? When was their job complete? It never was. It was our role, and it's our involvement, to continuously be investing in the next generation, continuously doing that. God has brought us together as a church made out of both young and old. We're very different. And yet it is our role to see that not only does the generation hold to the laws, hold to God's word, but passes it on, is in faithful in sharing this. Now, unlike the biblical generations of 40 years, there's been a lot of studies that has gone on, looking at different generations that exist in today's society. And there are about six generations, one generation is just about to fade out, but six generations at play. And how they've categorized these generations is by key events that have taken place. And these key events have had an effect on that generation. They picked up certain characteristics. They've held to certain things, they value certain things. As time goes, as media and technology has come, so the generations, the span of generations, we're just gaining new generations continuously, seeing a different characteristics than a new group of people. Now this has made us very interesting, a very interesting group of people to work with and journey with. And it's made it very interesting in the church. So how do we pass on? But how do we do that when we're so different, when our language is so different, when we value different things? And we've seen that this has been the struggle in the church. And in fact, tonight, I want to highlight, after speaking through the generations, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4. So if you can turn there so long. And though I want to read all 16 verses, we're really going to only focus on the first three. I wish I could just spend more time just focusing on what is written here for us. But simply just going to focus on the first three. Just kind of look at what does Paul write here? How does he kind of say that? How do we bring about unity in the church? Now remember, Paul was dealing with both the Jew and the Gentile and kind of giving instructions as they were mixing together, as they're ministering together. There must have been incredible tensions at place. And so Paul's kind of addressing that, dealing with that, key things that we've got to be involved in the generations, in unity in the church. And so I believe that applies to us today. How do we work with one generation? How do we minister together? Paul gives us this incredible image of the body working together. That we all different, but yet with one common purpose, one focus, one drive, one passion. And so he brings about. So when I talk about different generations, how does the world kind of define some of these generations? And I thought we'd have a bit of fun and have a look at them. Andrew, this thing's closed. I'm going to ask you to push on to the first one. The first generation is called the GI generation. Now, you will see I refer to two things, born and a few digits there, and born in South Africa. South Africa itself went through so much turmoil that the definitions and kind of characteristics can be a little bit delayed in the world standards. As we go on to younger generations, you'll see that impacts not. And I just want to say also, as we look in generations, that you'll see some of the generations will overlap a little bit. We take characteristics. In fact, the view, particular generations will have, there might be a middle group that fits there, not quite fitting in with, for instance, the GI and the silent generation. That would take place. That comes in. And then also, before I carry on, I just want to give credit. I've taken a lot of the research that Graham Conton has done There's a lot of people and a lot of writings that have come out. I wanted to try to take it from a South African context. So here we have the GI generation. They were called the GI generation because they were kind of general issue clothing that was kind of given. It was standard or particularly a focus on military. This generation would have served in World War II as youngsters. So they would have been involved in that. They would have come through and seen World War I. They would have seen a bit of a brief depression that would have taken place. And they focused on this. Their parents had kind of done a shift change here. The GI generation parents. Is now kids actually became important. Before, kids were good for work, kind of left on their own, do their own kind of meaners, whatever they needed to do, just kind of just do. The GI generation became a bit of a focus on that. In fact, we see that this Boy Scouts were started. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts were started for this generation. They loved organization. They loved structure as they grew a little bit older. You know, institution was the hero. In World War II, we saw a working together, a group of people together, you know, defeating and fighting problems and coming out. And then they moved that from the focus on military and willpower to kind of organizations. Organizations, they are their answer. We can work together. We can do and achieve great things in this. They had chains of commands. They focused on this. A generation that was really, really disciplined. And in fact, you would see often, they've likened this generation to the guys that would wear suit and tie. They gave up their military uniforms for a suit and tie, and you would see them wearing a suit and tie just to go down to the shop to buy bread and milk. There's a guy we drive past often on my way to work. If you see him, he walks up, Derek, and you'll see him. He goes to Pick and Pay every day, and he's got his suit and his tie, and he's proud. This is who he is. You know, this is what he has, and this is what he started. And look at what we've achieved, kind of generation in this. If we go on to the next generation, the silent generation, they're aged roughly, you'll see, between the 69 and 93. They were born some pre-World War II. In fact, a generation that kind of didn't fit in anywhere. They were too young to serve in World War II, yet but too old to serve in Vietnam. They're a generation that grew up with a principle and teaching that their children should be seen and not heard. But they grew up in a generation that would have firstly seen the GI generation coming back, seen the institution, willpower, great focus on suburbia, focus on the cities, the suburbs, the bigger than life kind of growing up. And then yet this generation, as kids, would have gone through as children in World War II and the Great Depression. They would have seen that. They would have been raised in that. And so we've seen the incredible wealth to incredible poverty. And you would have seen parenting that would have focused and protected them from that. Trying to shelter them from what was going on. Absolute turmoil. You can't give in. You can't do anything. Just focus. Be there. As they grew a bit older, and the example of this is Thabo Mbeki, They say this generation had a lot to contribute. They focused on society. They poured their heart and soul. And their kind of focus was to hard work achieve great things. And so that's what they believed in. They believed there was good and everyone should get along. That is expected. They grew up that society couldn't necessarily, institutions couldn't quite be trusted. Banks had let them down in World War II, growing up as kids. And so you find that they have this mentality of waste not, want not. We live on what we need. That's all we need. That's what we can afford. They wouldn't go into credit. In fact, they start to rebuild the wealth that was needed. And so they focused on that. They in their later days, hated conflict. And you would see a few leaders that had come in, and Thabo Mbeki is a great example of this. When faced with conflict, they didn't face it in front. They would often retreat and deal with it either on a one-to-one basis or a little bit one-to-one, or they would re-strategize in this, but never confront it straight on. They're often a generation that has skipped in leadership, yet had some incredible leaders involved in it. Their hearts were great. We see that they started Habitat for Humanity and World Vision, this desire to do something bigger. It had moved from the world, world powers can answer this, to we need to reach out, kind of build in, focus on them. They believed in institutions, and they believed that institutions deserved entire loyalty. They would stay in that same company forever. In fact, job changing was a stigma. You know, you had a job, you got a job, you stick with that job, and you work hard at that job, whether you like it or not. They believed in building a legacy, seeing that on. This generation, unfortunately, as they've gotten older, have seen the breakdowns in families, kind of questioning what has gone on with the legacy that they were trying to leave. Their rewards in life was just a satisfaction and a job well done. Have I done it well? Have I given my all to this? The next group we face is a group that's as well known as the baby boomers. And born 1943 to 1964, South Africa, 1948, 1970s. These would have been the teenagers of the 60s. Do you remember Flower Power? Power 6 and Rock and Roll? All of that they would have gone on. The rebellious generation. They had the desires as teenagers to rebel. They would have been the generation that would have been parented by the GI generation, and some in the silent generation. They're now incredible focus on protectiveness, childness, especially by the silent generation, who would have experienced poverty, who would have experienced the Great Depression, would have experienced World War. They're called the baby boomers because it's sometimes post-World War. We see this generation starting to expand, where the silent generation was growth rate was lowered. But here, the baby boomers, life was going great. We see incredible wealth that started to happen. The economy started to thrive. Organizations were established. We see in South Africa, the gold price was so great that the rand sometimes even was stronger than the pound and the dollar. Hard to believe. And that was that. They rebelled against authority. Not that they hated authority. They felt that the authority of the time was corrupt. But they liked authority. That was their authority. They were in charge. We see that from the GI generation, they started involving in starting establishing denominations, mainstream denominations and churches, and focused on that and built into that. And their faith was really about having gone through the revival, about experience and relationship. We see the silent generation became about faith of doing. You know, we live out our faith by simply doing. We stick by God's word. We hold onto God's word. This generation became a very experimental generation, as we know all about that. Yet, as they get older, this is the generation that starts to take leadership. And in fact, most of the world leaders are still from the baby boomer generation. They're a generation that believes in vision, strategy, missions, key performance areas. We need to achieve this. Great missions. They'll gather team meetings and organizations, and you still see this. Let's get together. Let's have a boss barat. Let's discuss things. Let's talk through this. Let's strategize. Here's the vision. This is where we're going. Are you with us? Yay, kind of thing. That's their group, the generation. Any of those leaders sound familiar? Anyone you come through? Bill Gates, Steve Jobs. This is the latest product. This is where we're going to take Apple. Yay, kind of thing. They're big talkers. They've seen change. They've seen the computer generation start. They've seen that you can achieve things through good luck, through invention, through opportunity, and can take that. See, a generation that has gone back to schooling, has gone back to, in fact, they say that this was one of the most educated generations ever. Generation that's grabbed hold of opportunity. In fact, they've turned around and said the institutions, when they've focused on their loyalty to institutions, they've said that institutions needed to change. They didn't like what they saw growing up as teenagers, and so they needed a change. The government needed to change. It needed to reach. It needed to do things. They focused on their goals was about their careers, achieving careers, and they achieved wealth. And we start to see this happening. They believe that job changing puts you behind, so you don't simply change your jobs because it's going to cause you to stumble with that. But to focus on what you have and put in. Their rewards is money, title, and recognition in doing. But unfortunately, some of the downfalls we see in this generation is higher divorce rate. We see the effects that it has on the generation X that comes along. Because money became the focus. The big drive, wealth, what have I done, what have I achieved? Putting a lot into that. What's the grander vision behind this? The next one, Gen X. I don't know why I like this generation the most. The Gen X were in the world 1961 to 1981, South Africa 1965 to 1990. They're a generation that would have seen a lot of change. They're a generation that's kind of known as the latch door kids. In fact, that both parents now landed up working. So this generation was kind of had to raise itself. They were made to survive, kind of focus on just survival. I can do it on my own. I can achieve it on my own. I can kind of do this. I need to do it. We see that though it was before, you see drugs, murder, all sorts of things happening in this generation on heightened levels. Divorce rates. In fact, they say between this generation, the divorce rate had gone up something like 300% in this generation. That they would have seen. So it was abnormal for Generation X to be growing up with both their biological mother and father in the same house. Never mind about parents that were working. In South Africa, this generation would have been old enough to remember apartheid, but too young to have done much about it. And they would see that impact, that stigma would still be on them as well. They technically, literacy, it says, they grew up with change. They used to change. Cell phones would have come out. We would have seen the invention of the cell phone, communication coming out, computers starting to base in. And they said this is one of the last generations that actually would have literally read a book. And it's a hard copy book, gone to the library. They would have had to. My library's had cartoon books, comic books. I'm grateful for that. An example of this generation, Bart Simpson, a rebel. Like the boomer generation, they were rebels, known as that, to rebel. But they didn't rebel just against authority, they rebelled for the sake of rebelling. This generation brought about hip-hop, rap, change in music, punk rock. You start to see this generation starting to do this. But this generation grew up with the basis of if you had a degree, you weren't guaranteed a job. The unemployment rate, they said this is the generation that would have been the poorest, a generation that wasn't guaranteed any work. The boomer generation is if you simply had a matric, you could go knocking for a job. If you had a degree, they would come knocking on your door for the job. Generation X didn't matter. Whether you had the degree, you would still be probably serving at McDonald's. That would be the focus. So they didn't fear change. They hated uniformity. They wanted to be absolutely different. They, as you see, thrill seekers, experiences. It was life was today. It was never about tomorrow. Now this generation has gone with a rebel and grown up as older. And unlike the boomer generation, we see a complete change from this rebellious zone to the focus on let's get things done. Gen X still lives with a short-term mindset. Let me focus on the job for today. Job change is something that needs to happen. In fact, job change is necessary. If I stay in the same rut, I might just be caught in here. I need to live here. This generation's focus on rewards now is about a balanced lifestyle, both living a balanced life at home and not just putting, unlike the boomer generation, not but just putting all focus into work. but doing something different there. They want freedom as a reward. They focus on a portable career, changing career. Even if I have to shift what careers or job focus I've got, I want to do this. Their focus on institution is suspect in this. So they were known as the rebellious generation. The next generation is called Gen Y or Millennial. They're Gen Y for a few reasons. You'll see in that. Born 1982 to 2000 in South Africa, 1990 to 2005. They were the first generation to grow up with the baby on board signs. Okay. Focused on parenting had shifted. We realized the mistakes of the of Generation X. The boomers are likelihood of the parents of Gen Y millennials. Realizing the mistakes, and so we start to see a shift back on kids. We see that there's a change in schooling, the way we do schooling a little bit, and a focus on protection with the kids. In fact, there's a high drive between child abuse and awareness and child protection kind of awareness of this generation. This generation needs to be protected. They liken this to helicopter parenting. That this generation could do anything, they could achieve anything, you know, they could do all this, but mom and dad would be overboard guarding that generation, and they would be overlooking that generation. They struggle with social and cultural capital. They struggle with time and resources. They struggle with what that really means. They want to balance work life with social consciousness. We see that happening. They call this another name for this generation. There are a few names for this generation. They call it the trophy generation because they got trophies just for participating. The Peter Pan generation and the fact that adulthood is delayed in this. They're talking the Gen X. There's five stages that Gen X would focus on. That is getting their studies behind them. From their studies, leaving home, having total financial security, from having total financial security, getting married, and fifthly, having children. They said by the age of 30, 77% of Gen X's would have achieved all those five goals. Gen Y, millennial generation, only 1 out of 10 by the age of 30 have achieved those five things. They want them, but it can come later. Their job life will happen. In fact, they talk about their career path as more or less be not a straight line, but a curvy line. I'm on my way somewhere. Jobs, what? I can handle a few of them. I can do all of them. You know, I can multitask here. Generation that is really good at technology and knowing things. One of the reasons also why they're called the Generation Y, this is the generation that asks why. They've got information at their fingertips. They're able to do that. They're able to communicate incredibly. Some of the frustrations between Gen X and Gen Y, there's a bit of fight between them. As a Gen X, if I wanted to be accepted by a certain cultural group, I had to kind of wear the dress code for that. I was into rave music, so it was all the bright oranges, the weird haircuts, no thanks. Thank goodness we didn't have camera phones then. And bomber jackets and all sorts. And you would go out in faith and you would find those who were like you. This generation could just put out a friend request. Be liked. Media was their basis. And there's a video here that sums up a little bit on this generation I wanted to show you quickly. Ding, ticka, ding, ticka, ding, 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 ding. There he sits inside your local coffee shop, sporting a main bun and facial hair. Somehow he believes, although he has no job, that by his 30s he will be a millionaire. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A. Gotta love millennials.
moment.
Hopes to change the world while wearing yoga pants, armed with her dreams and knowledge of essential oils. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A.
Generation that is very savvy, a generation that is starting to enter the workplace, and interesting to see what's at hand. There is a new generation that's also come out, and this is the Generation Z. You will see there's not too much on them, from 1995 to about mid-2000. We're still trying to kind of work them out. They're starting to go into the university kind of spiel. What they say is a little bit different between Gen Z and that is their concentration span is even less during to media technology. They're able to extremely multitask. They're not focused on loyalty or brand conscience as the Generation X. Millennial would look at an organization because they're very focused on what's going on. Millennial would be kind of growing up in a time where the earth is fragile, so kind of looking at institution as should be judged on their own merit. So I'm going to go to Seattle Coffee because they do this for me. By me drinking this, they're also going to do that. They're going to make impact in the world. Gen Z is about convenience. They like the instant. Who can bring it to me now? Who can do that? Even more focused on this. They identify themselves at the moment as being loyal, compassionate, thoughtful, open-minded, responsible, and determined. They've kind of grown up with the fact of smartphones. There is something different. This generation now has been raised by Gen Xs, and there has been a concern and a fight between media and the amount of media used. Because now you've got an open door. And so Gen Z, there's a rebellion that is taking place between that. But with that fight has brought the basis that they actually prefer to connect with people, person-to-person kind of connection, rather than just through media, that small group of friendships. So it's exciting to see what's going to happen with Gen Z and what videos come out about them. So why am I showing you this and the impact on the church? Now, I grew up as a Gen X, and there were a lot of teachings that took in place. We see as the generations have had impact and have done great things for the one from another. The GI generation would have created the YFCs, the Youth for Christ. The denominations would have started. We see likes of Billy Graham coming from that generation. The silent generation would have focused on the Word and getting hold of the Word. Being involved, that faith was by deeds, by action. What you did revealed your faith. Boomer generation was about the relational. In fact, they started the small groups. the home cell kind of movements bring him back to that kind of basis. Gen X was the rebellious mistrust in the local church. The church didn't accept us. We didn't feel it. And so we see a breakaway in a generation that didn't fully follow the Lord. However, they wanted purpose. They wanted meaning. They wanted to feel like they found truth. And so the quest for truth started with Gen X, a real desire to know what is true. They wanted meaningful relationships. They wanted meaningful mentorship basis. Gen Y, millennial generation, has been open more than any other generation to mentorship. They want somebody there because of this kind of parenting, that style of parenting that's happened. They want somebody to guide them. They want somebody to invest in to give them opportunity. They want that. And the Gen Z, we are finding out. As Gen X, I grew up in a church that with a kind of a thought that around, particularly around worship, because music was a big thing for Gen X, but I think for any generation, that it needed to be of the latest choruses. What was wrong with singing heel songs every day? For those who don't know it, that's how old Gen X is. All right. And we needed to throw out the hymns and the organ needed to be thrown out and the drums needed to be brought in. Now, I remember going to church, and on the morning services, the drum kit had to be covered with a cloth. All right, because you did not have that instrument of the devil in the church. And in the evenings, we bashed it like anything. It needed to be changed. Gen X focus was about, it's about us. You need to move aside and set aside because it's our generation now that's going to take over. They need to happen. We have this kind of still slipping in. You need to change this for me. The GI generation was very good at bringing about program and structure that would have come in, helping to build these mega churches. The boomer generation, big with vision, and that has likened the groups like Willow Creek and Saddleback and those mega churches and big vision coming in. And so when you have a new generation that is very social, I want to have meaningful, I want to have purpose. You've got a generation that's asking, what's the vision? How does that fit in where we're going? And you'll have a clash that takes place. But what if we started working together? What if it meant to pass the baton on, to invest in the other generation, was meaning to give opportunity? Now, I'm encouraged by a church that does this. There's a lot of opportunity for young people, but what if it was more than that? What if we were looking about understanding, building, and utilizing? The millennial generation and Gen Z knows media and technology far greater than we ever could. But why are we sometimes as churches still stuck on just getting on Facebook account that is long gone? Why are we not using the millennial generation for that? Why are we not as Gen X encouraging mentorship? Looking instead of just looking for the rebel and change or being disgruntled because it didn't go our way. Looking to invest in the next generation with a zeal and excitement and passion. What if we did that? What if the generation, the GI generation and the silent generation taught us the word and understanding of faithfulness? What if they taught us the meaning of hard work? And what if we did that with an incredible purpose and vision that the boomers can give us? What if we truly came together as the body of Christ? What could be achieved? Instead of worrying about how low one's pants are, what hairstyles, the amount of tattoos one has, the hairstyles itself, instead of worrying about all these things that characterize the generation, what if we focused on what God is doing in His church today? Where's God taking us if we could come together? So how do we do this? Very briefly, as I realize I've taken up quite a bit of time on that, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But each one of us, grace is given and given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says that when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? That he also descended to the lower earthly regions. Of who descended is the very one who ascended on high than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we have reached unity in faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, obtaining to the whole measure of fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by every cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together, and every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So how do we bring about unity, particularly across generations? Firstly, live a life worthy, we're told. I like how Paul's writing this. He's writing this in prison. Live a life worthy as a prisoner for the Lord. Then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. This is incredible. You would think Paul's in prison and you're going, how's that worthy? Well, the fact that because of his faith, his passion, his desire to live out the gospel for God, he's landed up in prison for sharing that very vision. And so he's there saying, worthy, look at my example, follow this. Live your life worthy, almost that you get in trouble. A life worthy, what? In the fact that you're reflecting who God is. A life that is showing Christ in it. See, in order for unity, so often we sometimes are looking for our worth in other things. We're looking to focus on other things, and we want to achieve our own agendas. But it's saying here, live a life worthy to which we are called. We're called to serve God. We're called to live for him. We're called to preach the gospel. We're called to so much more. And that is what it means to live a life worthy. Looking for his agenda. Looking for his purpose. And that's how we bring about unity. Is simply saying, God, how am I reflecting you in this? How are you shown? How am I shown that I'm a son of the Most High God in this? How am I displaying you in these decisions in church? Secondly, we need to have the right attitude. We need to have the right attitude. Verse 2 goes on to say, be completely humble and gentle. I love how he puts the word completely humble and gentle. Be patient in this. Now, firstly, to have the right attitude, we need to be humble, it says here. Now, humility is a difficult thing. Because when you think you have it, you've just lost it. Philippians 2 verse 3 says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. How are we building up the next generation? How are we giving them opportunity? How are we're saying, go for it, you can do this. I love the fact that Moses uses Joshua's generation. Joshua, who's zealous, passionate, and Moses gives him that opportunity, builds him up. Look at this. How are we building one another up? Are we looking to achieve? See what I've achieved? How I value? We do it because this is how I've always done it. Or are we simply going, how are we doing this? How do we build you up? How do we spur you on? Imagine if every generation was doing this. As Gen X, we had to survive on our own, so we based it on the fact that we knew it. Boomer generation has seen the answers and feel that they know all the answers. How are we coming and saying, let's learn from one another. Let's do this together. Next one is gentle. Gentle here, the word is considerate. How are we considerate to one another? I remember as Generation X kind of pushing that we need to get rid of the hymns, lost the value of the hymns. How meaningful they we can sing the scriptures through it, the doctrine that comes through the hymns. I'm so grateful that a millennial generation learned from this and adapted it simply, that we're able to do that. How are we considerate with one another? Is it about achieving it? It fits me. This church suits me. This is how my style of preaching. This is what I should have. This is who I want. Or we consider it to one another. One of my best services at Northcliffe was often going to the 8 o'clock service. And it was known as the oldies service. But I tell you what, I learned so much more there. Watching how they worshipped. And just being part of that. How are we learning from one another? Next, we're told to be patient. And the patient here means slow to react. The example one of the commentaries gives is the liking to a mom. Isn't a mom slow to react sometimes? Not when you've done something wrong, but like very patient. I said, eat your breakfast. Now, come on, eat your breakfast. For me, it was, come on, get ready for school. Yeah, can. Hurry up, I've asked you for the 50th time. Yeah. How are we patient with one another? We're going to make mistakes. We're going to see this. We're going to see basis on one generation to the next generation saying, oh, it didn't work during our day. But how are we patient? How do we kind of guide that along? Thirdly, we're told through the scriptures, how do we bring about unity? It's to bear with one another in love. Bear with one another in love. I love this word, bear in one love. Bear in love. It's kind of to endure, to put up with, to suffer. It's to never give in kind of word. It's to kind of, I want to journey with you. I want to see the best in you. I want to see God's kingdom come because of you. I want to put in all, even though you're frustrating me to no end right now. This is kind of the word that it is using here. It's to make allowance. The New Living Translation kind of puts it this way. Making allowances for each other's faults. How are we bearing up with one another? And the verse goes on to say that in bearing up with one another, in what? In love. See, God's love is the model of how we should bear up with one another in love. John 13, verse 34, first part of it says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. See, just as God has loved us and He's been patient with us, so we should be patient with one another. So we should be humble with one another. So we should be gentle with one another. We should be displaying love. 1 Timothy 1 verse 16 says this, but for every reason I have shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus, might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. God shows us His love by forgiving us. How good are we at bearing another with one another in the way we forgive? Colossians 3 verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another just as you have. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive just as the Lord forgave you. So we bear. We're going to make mistakes as generations. We've seen that. We're going to be both excited, frustrated, and joyful. We're not going to understand each other's lingo or language. But when we make mistakes, how easily are we to forgive that next generation? This is what brings about unity. And lastly, the verse goes on and it tells us to make every effort. To make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This word bond of peace, what is that bond? Well, it's simply God's love. Colossians 3 verse 14. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So make every effort. That means never give up. Using all I have, every effort to keep that unity amongst us as church. How do we know that we made an impact? Well, God has prayed for you. Jesus prayed for unity. He prayed for us to be one just as Him and the Father are one. We're told that they will know His disciples by simply our love for one another. So across generations, as the world has defined that, what if we work together? What if we embrace that? What incredible things could take place when we bring about that unity. And I like how Paul's right describing this as the body. Because we each have got something incredible to give. Never write off a generation. Either saying that they're too old or too young. Each generation has so much to give. So many values. So many focuses. So many giftings. But we're all different. We're not told to be the same. But simply to be part of the body at work for God's kingdom. So isn't it incredible that you're in the generation you're in? But we're there for a purpose. You can reach your generation like no one else could. But you also can make the impact on the next generation like no one else can. How do we keep our unity together? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you that you made us, that you know us, that you know our heart's desires, and though we look at characteristics of the different generations, the Lord, that doesn't really fully define us. You know us. You know this church, and you've called each and every single one of us to be part of this church. Not to make Watercliffe Baptist Church name great, but for you to be glorified, for you to be known. We pray that you would teach us how to not fear one generation or the other, but to tap in to what is going on. To tap into those strengths, to be used together, to work together for your glory. So we pray this in your name. Amen.